ready? Are you ready? Yes, we're ready. We're here and we're ready. Even those of you who are connecting with us online, we're trusting that you're connecting to us right now. Right now, there's something about the moment. There's something about uniting in the moment and being together in the moment. Hallelujah. You know, I'm sure you, as well as us, are hanging on to that word that Prophet Susie brought to us a couple of weeks ago, that there's something, there's a door. Yeah. There's a door that leads to a greater place of intimacy with the Lord, a door that leads us to a place of encountering the Lord, not just knowing He's there, but encountering Him face to face. There's a place of face to face. I love being here and seeing each one face to face, to see each one's face. I know you and I think about you and pray about you, but there's something about seeing you face to face, and there's something about seeing the Lord face to face. But a key element of that prophecy, that word to us, that promise, was that it would be corporate. There's a corporateness that we come with, that kind of heart that says, Lord, I'm seeking you. I'm looking to see you. My heart is open to you. There's such a place of our relationship with the Lord that's being enforced in this day, that it's about Him. It's about you, Lord. There's a lot of things that take our attention. There's a lot of things that we need to give time to and energy to, finances to, all those things. But above those things, we always keep as our priority our relationship with the Lord, our time with Him, the passion and heart that we have for Him. You know, in today's proverb that we read, if you're reading along with us each day, a proverb, and I just encourage you to continue to do so and let the Lord speak to you as you read His word. I mean, this is His word to us, His heart for us, His will for us, His direction to us. These things are key to us. And if we say, it is, Lord, all about you, then we give focus to His word. We give attentiveness to His word. And today in the proverb, it says to us, it says in verse 5 of Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in our own eyes. Don't lean on our own understanding. I consider myself a well-educated person, and not only from education in terms of book learning and studying, reading books, learning, going to school, but also because at this age, I've walked through a lot of life, and so I have a lot of experiences that have taught me things. But no matter what, there's a place that I have to step beyond that and say, Lord, I'm not leaning on what I've already learned, what I know, what I've experienced, what I've been taught, but instead I'm pressing to you. I'm trusting in the Lord because there's so much more He's revealing to us, so much more that He's opening up to us that He's saying, I want you to know. That's why He says, I want to open this door. So if you have that heart, I'll open the door and show you more. And there's more to be known. But that chapter 3 and verse 5 started out, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust. I don't know what trust means to you, but trust to me implies a lot. To really be trusting. In fact, when I was reading it, I thought about the years of driving in a car with this man. And I think of when we were younger and earlier days, and we would, don't tell a story, huh? And going in a car with him when, you know, you'd go on a long car trip. I like long car trips, but he'd always start out as the driver. And then when he would, and so we'd be driving, and he'd say, "Will you just sleep while I'm driving?" And I thought, "You got to be crazy. I can't sleep while you're driving." You know, he's a good driver, but there's just a sense like, well, what if he starts dozing off? Or what if he misses what we're supposed to do, or fails to recognize that he's driving too close to that car in front of him? Or something like that. So I better be real attentive. So there's no way I would sleep while he was driving. I have since learned that's foolishness. I can trust him. He's an excellent driver, and somehow he no longer dozes off. You'd think that would increase with age, but instead it's decreased. So, and he always gets us where we need to go, so he doesn't need me to say, "Are you sure this is the right way?" You know, he always manages. But and in our walk with the Lord, we have learned we can trust him. Trust him. Trust him because he's trustworthy. He knows what we don't know, and he knows how to handle things, but he also knows how to take us into places that we couldn't get to on our own, you know. He's our way in, but we do need to trust him. And what does it say? Trust in the Lord, what? With all? All our heart, like all your inner being. That I might say, "I trust you, Lord," but what's going on in my heart? Is there a place I'm not sure? Does he have good intentions for me? Will they cover every aspect? I know he's a good God, but will they cover every aspect of my life, my situation, my finances, my family, my relationships, my future that I want to step in? Can I trust the Lord with all my heart? All my heart. What does that feel like? That feels to me like rest. That feels to me like joy. Today, Prophet Susie and I were talking, and she said, you know, she put up the banner and says, "Joy in his presence." She said, there is a joy in this place. There's a joy in this house. Joy is something you can step into. You know, joy is something that you can embrace and let it come over you and fill you and take hold of you. No matter, it's not dependent on circumstances, situations or that. It's dependent on, is he present? And we know he's present. So we can access that joy. So when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we can do so in a restful way and a place that's joy, and also being energized. Aren't you energized when you're trusting, you know, like you're no longer feeling like a bit hesitant or worry of something? You know, you just step into it and you do so. So let's stand up, because we're going to worship the one we trust. We're going to worship him, the one who is here present with us, in us, so that we can have joy. And Holy Spirit, we're going to depend on you today, as we try to do in all our days. But Holy Spirit, we're going to trust you, because your delight is to reveal Jesus to us. Your delight is to form Christ in us, and your delight is to manifest him. And we have an expectation, Holy Spirit, that Jesus is going to manifest today in this service. We have an expectation. Let's just pray in the Spirit. Because we're trusting, we can just trust. let go of everything and give ourselves to this place of worship. Yes, Rabakayete. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We trust you, Lord.
When Mike started that trumpet sound, when he started that louder blast and you heard it, I heard the Holy Spirit say, break out, break out, break out, break out. For I heard the Lord say, there is nothing that is holding you back because my freedom is in you. My grace is upon you. So I'm speaking to you and I am declaring to you, break out.
We break.
lift one voice together. This is our song.
It's a new song to ring out.
Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Shekinah glory, and the house is filled.
to see your face, oh God. We press in to see your face, oh God. And we ask you to open the eyes of our heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high and lifted up, shining.
For other things, and I said, fix your eyes on Jesus. And that's going to be in the next song. We haven't coordinated this together until I walked in. And the other verse is Ephesians 1:18. I pray that the eyes of your heart be opened. That's what we're singing. That we might see Him. When we encounter Him, things grow dimly different down here. But I want you to sing that out of your heart. Open the eyes of your heart. You see the Lord in your heart.
Yes.
And He's given our heart eyes to see.
Yes.
And that first, the song before that was, I see the Lord. Every time you see the Lord and have an encounter in your heart, it changes you. And even that place where it says we haven't been this way before. We've never been this way before. No one has never been this way before.
Come on now.
So as he's pouring out his glory, we're the first that get the taste of this never been before. Amen. So open the eyes of our heart this morning, Lord. Let this be our prayer, not just our worship, but the prayer. Open the eyes of our heart that we might see you, Lord, that we might see you high and lifted up, that we might experience you in a whole different way this morning. So open the eyes of our heart. Let's sing it.
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of our hearts, open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see. No one else will do. take your place, to feel the warmth of your embrace. Jesus, you're the way.
I fix my eyes on you.
my eyes on you. I fix my eyes on you. I fix my eyes on you. Only you. Only you.
Let's prepare our hearts this morning to receive communion. So if you don't have communion, they'll bring the basket down. But we're going to worship. We're going to continue to worship. So prepare your hearts. You know, it says just don't rush into communion. Examine yourselves. Amen. I believe every communion wants to take us to a new level that we haven't been before. So each communion is to seal where we're at, but it's open up where we're to go yet as He reveals Himself to us. So we're going to continue in worship. Just get your communion elements. They'll be coming through congregation if you didn't pick it up. And the first Sunday of the month, just remind you, coming in, you can pick up the communion cups at the information table in the foyer as you come in to worship. But if you haven't got a communion cup, they're coming through with the basket. Gwen's coming. Let's worship as we prepare our hearts.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He. We sing a new song to Him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Thank you. struck wonder at the mention of your name. We're filled with wonder.
Keep your cup steady as you open it up. But I heard the Lord say that, you know, people wonder, maybe you didn't take a communion cup, or maybe you're holding it and saying, yeah, but I'm not worthy. Well, welcome to the crowd. None of us were worthy. He's the one that makes us worthy. And so it's about His blood. And maybe you say, hey, I don't belong to this church. It's not about belonging to the church. It's about a person, Jesus.
Amen.
It's about being part of His family. And so family, you know, when we gather, He's prepared a table. His body and His blood. The blood that He shed and His body that was broken for us. We're to do in remembrance of Him. So every time we gather is His family. I like family gatherings, and we like eating.
Thank you, Jesus.
Gathering is about eating, and God is a good Father, and He knows how to feed us. And He knows how to set a table before us.
Thank you, Lord.
So we get to partake, and the only requirement is not if you belong to a church,
right. But
if Jesus is Lord of your life. And then if you can't sing to the King of Kings, the first step is to make Him Lord of your life. He came the first time, went to the cross, died for our sins, rose, was buried, rose from the grave, defeated death, hell, and ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand. The Father sat him at his right hand. And he says, today is the day of salvation. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So this is about him and being saved. About coming into covenant with a living God. A personal God. That's not dead, he's alive. You know, all the other religions, their God is dead. But we have one that's alive. And not only that, but he's coming back. And so we like to do this as a family, you know. We do family grace and blessing over the food. And that's what we're going to do. But as a family, we're going to make a confession of our faith. Because he says, now we can come boldly into the throne room of grace. Aren't you glad we can come boldly? If you're not sure of taking these elements this morning, we're going to sell that real quick. It's your choice. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. You don't have to go clean up your act. We're not waiting for you to do that. He says, come as you are. Receive Jesus, believing in your heart, confessing. It's going to change your life. It's going to set you on a journey that you can't even imagine. Amen. But the biggest joy I love is the family of God. Wherever you go in the nations and you're with the body of Christ family, we got family all over the world. And a lot of the family in different nations are closer than some of, not my immediate family, but some of our cousins and some of those that don't know Jesus, but they're coming in. So let's make this confession of our faith and do it boldly. He went to the cross as a public display and spectacle. Hung on the cross and was mocked and spit upon. Took your sin on that cross. We need to be bold about our confession of him as Lord. So let's say this together. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for loving me. You loved me so much that you didn't leave me in my sin condition. That you went to the cross and my sin and my sins were nailed on that cross. You paid the price for me. You took on your body my sins. And you were buried and you were raised from the dead. So I died with you. I was buried with you. I thank you for the baptism of death and burial. And I thank you that I was raised with you. Thank you for saving me. Because I believe in my heart. And I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord. Now come into my heart. As King and Lord. I receive you now. Thank you, I'm born again. I'm a new creation. All things are passing away. And all things are made new. And we don't look at any man in the flesh. We see the Christ in you. Take the bread. Thank you. this is his body broken for us. That by his stripes we're healed.
Amen.
Let's eat.
Receive your healing, God.
Thank you, Lord. Just begin to thank him for his healing.
We thank you for your healing, God.
Just as you saved us from our sin, you also healed us. Healed these bodies. We receive healing this morning. We believe and we receive in Jesus' name. Take the cup. This is his cup, his blood that was shed for the remission of your sins.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Thank you for forgiving us of all of our sins. You declared us holy and righteous. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's drink this cup together as the body of Christ, as his family. Let's drink this in remembrance of what he did on the cross.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God Almighty.
Oh, let's thank the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's doing a work.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. Thank you for pressing in. As I came in, I heard yesterday that we sang the song at an event I was at. It said, I see the Lord. And that's all I heard all week. Fix your eyes on Jesus. I walked in, and I was going to tell Amy, I want you to have that song ready. And as I stepped in the sanctuary, team started to sing that song. I says, okay, Lord, of all the scriptures that God could give us to confirm it's like he's saying, didn't you hear me? You heard right. And I confirmed it yesterday, today, not only in one song, but three songs. I see the Lord. Fix your eyes on him. And you'll see that as we get in scripture. Well, bless the children as they're dismissed. We thank Chase and Josh and Lola and their team, Chelsea. They're doing great work. And I know yesterday Chelsea challenged the ladies after. I know they were challenged first before, and then after she challenged them. And I heard some of them complain that I heard one tell me that she said the word, the S word, three times in introducing it. And for the ladies, the S word is sweat. So I heard some complain that they're not going to sweat, but anyhow.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And this was confirmation. This is where it says, fix your eyes. But you need to know the whole context of this because we're living in critical times. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for Israel. We're going to pray over the offering. Thank you for your generous giving through November and the Breakthrough Fund. And we're able to bless many. But we're going to keep the Breakthrough Fund going through December. And it's the holiday offering. So everything goes in Breakthrough. It goes to the food certificates, the blessed families not only here, but other families as we hear about them to help them through the holiday season. So we're going to pray over the word. We're going to pray over the offering. And just keep pressing in. We're in December for those of you who need awakening, you know. This is December. I won't give you a countdown to how long till Christmas and all that. But time is moving fast. It's like we're in God's timetable, you know. It kind of goes slow when you're in it, but then you get a week away and you think, where did that week go?
Yes,
that's true. Amen. You know? And so we are in December for those that need awakening. Father, we thank you for your word, confirmation of your word this morning. We thank you that we lift up our tithes, our offerings. We thank you for the breakthrough fund that we're sowing, offering, Father, and blessing others. And we thank you as they're blessed. We thank you that it starts a change reaction of blessing others. We thank you right now, Father, that you're causing us to be generous givers right now because you've been generous in blessing us. You blessed us with much, and so we thank you. You can trust us with much, and we thank you right now for just blessing us abundantly right now. We keep our eyes fixed on you. Thank you for your word. Confirm your word with signs and wonders following right now in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We pick up an envelope out of the rack, and you can see where you can give online, or you can give in the envelope and just remind those that aren't familiar, familiar with it. There's two boxes out in the hallway to give your offering. One goes right out the door, and the other one's on the wall. So I get excited. I see people come in all through the week and go down the hall and drop their offering in. And so we give you all the opportunity to bring your offering. We don't take your offering. It's your decision to bring it. Amen?
Amen.
So let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. I have a whole lot. It's been confirmed this morning, not just one area, but as the prophetic came and as we sing and worship, and just, you create an atmosphere. Do you understand that? You come in here and your expectation creates an atmosphere for revelation. I know that from experience that I can tell you Sunday mornings, Pastor Lynn, Apostle Linda will tell you, you know, this week as I've been pressing in and struggling, you know, on some things, just trusting the Lord, keeping my eyes fixed on him, and was busy yesterday, went all day. By the time I got to the end of the day, you know, I was tired.
Yeah.
So tired I didn't get to finish the whole Michigan game. But God, you know, and I wasn't sure where to go. He just said, fix your eyes on Jesus and tell the people to do that. So Hebrews chapter 12, I want to read the end of Hebrews chapter 12 because he tells us at the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12 what we're to do. At the end, he tells us what's going to happen. So at the beginning, he tells you what you need to do to prepare for what's going to happen. It's not all chopped up. It's a flow. And so at the end of chapter 12, there's a whole lot of things between verse 1, but verse 25, it says, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. And this is continuous present tense. God doesn't speak and then stop. He's continuously speaking. He's God and he has a lot to say. So make sure you don't refuse him who is speaking. He wants to speak to us, but if you're not heeding to what he's saying and doing what he's saying to do, then, you know, sometimes it feels like he's not speaking, but he's speaking. So it says, see to it, especially in this hour. And I'll try to stay on track here because thoughts start flooding where I want to go right now. But I want to wait. I got to pull it back. Pull it back. So, see to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. I want to tell you in this hour, he's speaking and he's speaking very loud. It's not hard to hear. Not hard to hear. If you want to hear more, then keep listening. He's speaking. But make sure you don't refuse him. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. So Moses came down and God warned the people of Israel. When Moses came down, he warned them what was going to take place on the earth. But we, under the New Testament, are being warned right from heaven by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
People are just, I mean, if you're listening, and I just, we're going to pray for Israel. I said we'd do that, but this is a good place to pray for Israel. If you're listening, what's going on, I heard a phrase this morning. It says, the visible, what you see, the visible, is what is physical and natural. The invisible is what is spiritual and unseen.
Yes.
But what you see happening in the physical explains what's happening in the spiritual. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The explanation is, watch Israel. And people are saying, you know, why watch Israel? Because they're God's chosen people. He's got a covenant with them. He gave them the land. And listen, they're in war. They said everybody's in war in Israel. No one gets to stay out of this. But notice Hamas has said, and this is in their charter, to eliminate Israel off the face of the earth. Now, anybody in the natural, if they come to your house and tell you that, you're not going to sit back and say, let's negotiate. Let's see if we can come to agreement. No one in their right mind. So I'm going to tell you, it doesn't look just, but you read back in the Old Testament, sometimes God told them, go in and wipe out the whole city. Children, animals, everybody. Because he sees what's in their heart. And anybody that's confessing that we're going to wipe off another people.
Come on.
All right.
So as we pray for Israel, watch. It's not going to stop quick. Don't pray for a two-state solution because it's not going to happen. How can you have a two-state solution? It'd be like Canada saying, we're going to wipe off the United States off the face of the earth. And we're going to say, oh, that's all right. We know they don't really mean it. Let's negotiate. There wouldn't be any negotiation. We'd raise up all that we had, all of our strength, all of our power. I want to just say that there's some mindsets we got to change.
Amen.
We'll get into that in a minute. Father, we thank you for Israel right now. You said to pray for Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but you also said to pray for Israel. And so, Father, we pray for Israel. We know they're your covenant people, not just your people, but the land that you promised Abraham before the covenant with Moses, before the law. You promised Abraham, lift up your eyes. For as far as you can see, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And then you gave the boundary lines that you said, this is my covenant with you. And you'll be established in this land. So we thank you, Father, just as the natural reveals the visible. But Father, we thank you. It also reveals what's happening in the spirit and the non-visible. So we thank you this morning. We keep our eyes on you, Jesus. We're not arguing with what's going on. Father, it's your plan.
Amen.
We pray for, Father, the Palestinian people.
Yes, Lord.
That their eyes would be open.
Yes, Lord.
That you would protect them right now. That they would heed to any warnings that Father is being given. That, Father, they're not being fear, but they know, Father, that just as you separated Isaac and Ishmael and you pronounced a blessing upon Ishmael, as you sent him off from Father Isaac, we thank you that right now you got a plan for, Father, the Palestinian people.
Yes, you do.
You haven't forsaken them. And Father, the same covenant and same promise that you give to each one of us is to come to the Lord. Open the eyes of their heart.
Yes.
Let revival start, Father, in the Gaza Strip. Let revival, Father, be birthed in Israel that would, Father, spill over not only into the Gaza Strip, but into Jordan and Syria, Father, and Egypt right now, and Saudi Arabia and Yemen right now, Father, that whole region. Let them explode, Father, with encounters with Jesus. So we pray, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, Father, we know that true peace and lasting peace will never come until the Prince of Peace returns and sets his feet, Father, on the Mount of Olives. But we're to pray, Father. And we thank you right now. You're doing something that's stirring, Father, the nations of the earth.
Yes.
Bringing them back to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 25 again. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns us from heaven. Verse 26. And his voice shook the earth then. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Verse 27, this expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken. I want to tell you that everything that can be shaken is natural. If you feel you're still in a shaking, that's because he hasn't removed that out of your life. God in his mercy is going to shake everything. We've been through many shakings, but I believe in this one watching Israel, this is the one that's big. Yeah. We keep writing. We thought it was COVID. We thought it was the vaccines. We thought it was all this stuff, and yet we're still in a shaking. Yeah. The war in Israel, the political, the shaking. It says, knows what it says. This expression once more denotes the removing of those things that can be shaken. So if there's things being still shaken, it's because he wants to remove them. And everything that can be shaken is everything that's natural, that he didn't establish. So he says, yet once more denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken, as of created things or natural things, so that those things which cannot be shaken will remain. What is that that can be shaken? Those things that are spiritual. God's doing a purging.
Yes, he is.
Amen. Yes, he is.
But he's not asking if you like it or not. It's just happening. And I hear it all over the world. You know, people, you can resist it. If you resist it, it's going to be tougher. And the more you resist it, the more hardened your heart gets to the place you get where your heart grows cold. And in the last days, the hearts of many believers are going to wax cold because they're resisting the shaking. We have to be very careful here in this nation because we think things won't come here. Because we have superior armies, we have superior this and that, we have superior economy. We think it's not coming here. If you listen to those people there, they said, America, you need to wake up. The Hamas spirit is already in your land waiting to be released. I'm not fearful of that. But watchman on the wall is the body of Christ. We need to know what's happening. We're not exempt from the shaking. You're not exempt from the shaking. I want to go even a little further. Just because you receive Jesus as Lord of your life doesn't exempt you. I wish I could say that, you know what, I came to know Jesus, all my troubles stopped. I want to tell you, they just started. Because the enemy didn't like the direction I was going. He was content where I was. He loved me the way I was. You look at some people and you say, man, they're not born again. They're wicked. Look at how they're prospering. Read Proverbs. Don't get jealous because their time's coming. And when it comes, it's going to be a big fall. Don't look at others. Just get our eyes on ourselves. So this is what he says. The expression "yet once more" denotes a removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. The only thing that's going to remain is what's of God.
Yes. Amen.
Verse 28, love this. Therefore, since we have a kingdom which cannot be shaken, so he tells us, God's kingdom can't be shaken. The gates of hell will not prevail against this kingdom. It does tell me, though, in this and refer to, that any other kingdom that's not of the kingdom of God is going to be shaken.
Amen, amen, amen.
So whatever you believe doesn't matter. If you're not established in the kingdom, you're not operating in the kingdom principle, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Therefore, since we received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude to which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. That word awe there, and I like a better word in there, and I put it, is the fear of God. God's bringing us back to the fear of God. It's not a fear that he's out there crushing you. It's a fear and a reverence because he is holy. And he is righteous. And when we see him, that's why when you have an encounter with him, you're going to be undone, because everything that he exposes that's not of him, we're just going to be awed. The fear of God is going to be restored in this shaking. For God is a consuming fire. I love that whole song. I don't really like the part about, and then there was smoke. But wherever there's fire, there's going to be smoke.
Amen.
So God burns stuff off. There's going to be smoke. Amen?
Amen.
Now, this is the end of Hebrews chapter 12. This is where everything's going to be shaken that can be shaken. But he starts Hebrews chapter 12 telling you how to prepare for the shaking. Isn't that good?
Yes.
So in verse 1 he says, therefore, and you go back and read chapter 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witness surrounding us. You know, there's a lot of talk about what is that great cloud of witnesses, you know. Is it all those that have gone before us, the Old Testament saints that passed out of paradise and were raised with Jesus, now are surrounded up there? That cloud right there often refers to just the clouds in the presence of God. But we got a great cloud if it's angels or if it's those that have gone before us. I don't know if it's those that knew the Lord, that were part of who we were and went there, but it's not saying we can communicate with them. They're watching. Someone, angels, someone's watching, and it's a great cloud. They're looking down, and right now, I don't know what act it is, but the stage, we're on center stage. And a lot of people, you know, enjoy being in a spectator more than a participant.
Yeah.
As you get older, you appreciate that you can be a spectator.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I never just kind of watch a game. I was telling my grandson, I said, you know, when my dad and I used to watch a game, my dad was loud. I mean, he was engaged in the game. He yelled at the television. He yelled at the referees as though the referees could hear him. He yelled at the announcer. You know, we would watch television. We had two televisions on top of each other, and he'd shut the sound off on them because he didn't like the announcers, and he liked Van Patrick on the radio. My dad, even though he was in attendance, he was a participant. You know, I mean, he lived every play. Okay, that's the household I was brought in. But it says, therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses. I don't know who these witnesses are. It could be angels, those that have gone before us, the Old Testament saints. But it says, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. There's only one race that's set before us as believers. That's a race of seeing Christ in his fullness be formed in us. Christ in us, the whole. I heard all the way from Malaysia, the conference that Dr. David and Tunde did just in November. And I got to hear the first two or three things. And you know what the emphasis is on? Galatians 1:27. This is what we're moving into right now. They were both teaching off of this. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're all in the same race, having the fullness of Christ in us, because it's the hope of glory. Are you following this? I mean, I'd love to get confirmations of what we've been hearing and preaching. That's been up there since 2012. It's the mystery. It's the gospel that was hidden from generations, but now is being revealed. It's not only been revealed right now, it's starting to manifest in the earth.
Hallelujah. Woo.
And you can be part of the manifestation, or you can be part of a spectator watching it happen. I'm so excited because this one, and I won't get to it today, so I'll just tell you, write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it talks, although the outward man is perishing daily, the inner man is being renewed. So I'm glad in this race, I can participate.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? And so can you, because you're a believer. He's made you worthy. He's made you so that you can run in fullness. But notice what it says here. Lay aside every encumbrance. I want to tell you, this is what he's going after right now. Every encumbrance. The word every means every.
Yeah.
Everything that hinders you in this race, this spiritual race. Every excuse you have. Why you can't.
Come on.
Is an encumbrance.
Yeah.
He's taken away all excuses.
Yeah.
Come on. Every encumbrance that hinders you from staying in this race. And it doesn't mean you won't get knocked down. I think it says in Psalms or Proverbs, it says that the righteous person gets knocked down seven times when gets. It's not a matter how much you get knocked down. It's a matter of getting back up, staying in the race. And what he's doing right now, he's getting some of us back in the race. Some of us have checked out and said, well, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And all this is happening right now. That's all right. Some of us think we're going to be caught out of here before it all breaks open. I thought I'd be gone before what I see happening broke open. So I'm still here, so I know that he's not done shaking everything and be shaken. In fact, I've been reading a book by Rick Renner. And Rick Renner, I think it was Dress to Kill, is his book. Oh, it's powerful on Ephesians chapter 6. When I get through these first few chapters of reading it, we think we're in the worst of times. It has no comparison to what Paul was dealing with at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. Nero was worse than Hamas. Nero, what he liked, he created crucifying the Christians in the Colosseums as a sport. It started off that he just do that to celebrate his birthday. And it got to be people liked it so much, he was doing it on a regular basis. Feeding Christians to the lions. Your belief to get you, and all you had to do was denounce that you don't believe that anymore. The sexuality that was going on is no comparison to what we're seeing right now. They had shrines and temples, prostitutes that young men and women, almost all, had to serve time in those sex slaves. Boy, when I started to read that, I thought, whoo, that's not the good old days. What we got right now, no matter where we look at, compares nothing. And then Paul, I'm going to talk about Paul in a minute. But first I want to finish this. It doesn't compare what we're experiencing right now. And sometimes we think, well, it's not so bad. If this is all it is, you know, it's not so bad. But be careful. He says, let us run. And notice the us in there. I like it. It's not individual. We're in a race together. You ever watched some of the marathons? Some of the marathons where people run together and they help each other cross the line. The race you're in is not just to be out in front of everybody. The race you're in is to run together. In fact, it says with endurance. That word tells us that it's a marathon. Your life is a marathon. In fact, a marathon terminology is being changed. It used to be 26 miles. Now they got mega marathons that are 50 miles. I just heard another one that it's a mega mega. Mega mega. Or whatever. But our life is a marathon. But it doesn't matter how long that marathon is, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So no matter how long you're on this earth, it doesn't even compare to a day of being with the Lord. Think about that. But he says, let us run together with endurance the race that is set before us. And verse 2 is this is what we sang this morning. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. Why do we fix our eyes on Jesus? Because he's the finish line. He's where we're going. The fullness of Jesus, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we fix our eyes. It's not just kind of, you know, every once in a while we glance. See what he's doing. No, we got our eyes fixed. It sounds like that word gaze that we gave last week. We're focused. We got our eyes on Jesus. We're not being distracted with encumbrances here and there. We know our eyes are on Jesus. Yes. Amen. Amen. So fixing your eyes, our eyes, I like that together. Thank you. Why? Because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He started your journey, your marathon, when you received him this morning. If you prayed, he opened the door. You're now part of the family. You started this marathon. Yes. He authored it, but he's also the one that's going to finish this race. He gets to determine when you're done. And everything in between. So if we keep our eyes fixed on him, who's the author and the finisher, and everything in between, we'll stay on course. So every once in a while, we need a course adjustment. All right. I'm finding more that I'm out there, the quicker I need a adjustment. A GPS adjustment. An update, an upgrade. Because, you know, if you're flying, you're only get a couple degrees off from New York to Los Angeles, you can be a long way off by the time you get to your destination. Just 2 degrees. You can be hundreds of miles or thousands of miles off, just 1 degree off. You say, just a little bit of sin. No, he's a consuming fire. He's going after everything in you. Because a little bit will get you off course. And if you stay off course, the longer you stay, the harder your heart gets. And it's harder to bring you back. That's why be quick to repent. When you miss it, we all miss it. Great. Repent, get back on course. Don't run from God, run to him. Amen. The devil brings condemnation when you miss it and say, I'm unworthy. Well, the way you fix that is just confess it and get back in. Yes. Amen. If you can't run boldly into the throne room of grace, find out what's keeping you from running boldly. Amen. Because if you're in right standing, you can run boldly and confidently and even have a sassiness about it. I'm a child of God. Woo! Amen. Some of you know how to be sassy. I see you. Then it goes on to say, who for fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Wow, what an example. Joy, he went to the cross. Why? Because he saw beyond the cross and he saw the finished work, you and I. If he didn't go, you and I wouldn't be here. I mean, that's why there was such craziness going on in Jesus' time, because they didn't have any hope. They just had the law, and the law brought condemnation. And literally all hell was breaking out all of Jerusalem and Israel and the Middle East. Jesus came and, you know, set them free. But you know, just like slavery and the Civil War, I like this illustration, because the slaves were set free. A proclamation was made, but what is that day that they celebrate?
Juneteenth.
That was when everybody. Yeah, the ones out west learned that they were free. You know, you can receive Jesus and not be free. Because you don't know what your rights are. You don't know who you are in Christ. So you're saved and you may be going to heaven, but you're not free. Jesus came to set you free. Amen. The devil comes to kill, destroy, and steal. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Woo! But he didn't stop there. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Doesn't matter in the shaking. We fix our eyes on Jesus. We're not going to lose heart in the shaking. Doesn't matter what comes your way. Man, it's already settled where I'm going to spend eternity. I'm not going to. No, I don't question that ever. But my time's not yet. Neither is yours, because you're here. Amen? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. The other scripture we sang this morning, open the eyes of our heart. This is a prayer that Paul gave the church. You should be praying this every day. We're talking about seeing Jesus' face. His face is his eyes. And so it's not with your physical eyes you see him. You see him with the eyes of your heart. When you encounter him with the eyes of your heart, that's what changes you. Yes. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Paul writes this prayer, and he writes it for you and I, not just the church at Ephesus. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I want to give you a challenge every day. This is a prayer you can pray. It's a biblical prayer. Every day, pray this over yourself. I pray that the eyes of my heart will be enlightened. Yes. And then when you start reading the Word, that's how he... When you're looking at the face of Jesus, it's looking in the Word. And when your heart's enlightened, then you have an encounter with his Word that changes your heart. Yes. So he says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling? Okay. So the first thing is you need your eyes enlightened. So you know, you need to know what race you're in. Yes. Your calling is to get in a race. And get in a race with the body of Christ. Second thing he says, that your heart be enlightened, that you would know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Yes. In the saints. How many want to know your inheritance?
Yes.
I mean, it doesn't even compare to natural.
Yes.
Your inheritance is the fullness, the glory of God.
Yes. Come on. Yes.
Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places has already been given to us.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And it doesn't compare to the blessings and the treasures of this earth. The third thing he says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Aren't you glad that we're seated with him in heavenly places? And that we can know what our inheritance is. But we can know and understand and experience the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That Jesus walked in the earth being filled with the Holy Spirit. That same power is on the inside of you. Now, before I make a transition, I want to share two scriptures. Go to Romans chapter 4. You know what's happening right now, and you're experiencing it, and so am I, is Revelation's just flowing.
Yes.
Phew.
Yes.
He's opening up the Word, and Romans chapter 6. Okay, I moved to 6. Okay. Chapter 6, look at verse 4. It says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, okay, you got that part? So that Christ who was raised through the dead, and notice what it says, through the glory of the Father. The glory of the Father raised Jesus from the dead. What was that glory? In chapter 8 and verse 11, but if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So the glory of the Father is Holy Spirit in you.
Woo!
Woo!
The
same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, if he's dwelling in you, living in you, you have the glory of the Father. Oh, man. That ought to change how you walk around. Amen. That caused a little sassiness in you. Not arrogant sassiness. Okay, let me share this because real quick, I want to share this, and we're moving into, we've been talking and hearing a lot of people, I heard Dutch Sheets talking about this week, of praying for the prodigals. And the Lord says, start seeing the prodigals come in. I hear people sharing. If you're not hearing any testimony, you know, I could ask who's been sharing, and all kinds of things are happening. If you don't have any testimonies, how much are you sharing? Because
yep.
People are hungry right now.
Yes.
They're looking. They're searching.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Engage them in conversation. One of the Indian brothers from India that we worked with, because the Indians are in Farmington Hills, and we asked, well, how do you reach the Indian people? He says, real easy. He says, first thing is let them talk to you and listen to them. And then they have a culture that to be honorable, then they'll listen to you. But we don't want to listen often. So just ask some question. And it worked out. Anna was telling us in the barbershop this week, an Indian fell. She just asked him a question. He told her all about that. And then he says, out of courtesy, it's their culture. What about you? What do you think? And she was able to just share the gospel with them. And they listen very people. If,
are hungry.
They're hungry.
Yes.
But this is why I want to make a caution on. And this is what I heard the Spirit of God say, and I'm going to tell it. I believe the prodigals are coming in.
Yes. Yes.
There's no question.
Yes.
How are we going to reach the seven mountains? I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be reached, and this is my opinion, from people off the streets. It's going to be reached by those who were in those mountains, getting dramatically saved.
Amen.
And going back in those mountains to finish the work that they were created to do. Because you're going to hear some things, and I'm not free to tell you right now, but you're going to hear some things of people, and I've already shared this a little bit with some people, and they say, it's no way this person could have got saved. I don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you, because we're in this city, we're looking and praying for an answer. Kwame Kirkpatrick.
Absolutely, yeah. 100%.
You say, is it possible?
Yeah.
If you believe in Paul conversion,
yes.
I've been with him now 3 times in the last month. He's had an encounter in solitary. He spent 7 to 9 months in solitary confinement. In that, before that, he had an encounter with God. He got called out in chapel meeting and they just said, hey, big man, do you know Jesus is your Savior? He's real religious. He comes from a religious family. He said, no, I don't know him as a Savior. He got dramatically saved. I'll tell you, he's so humble right now. He got filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard his testimony getting filled with the Holy Spirit yesterday. It was wild. Yesterday, I heard. What did I say?
Yeah.
No, not yesterday. He got filled in prison. But, and he got pardoned. And I'm just going to be real. He got pardoned by President Trump. But he didn't know he was getting pardoned by him. He just told the jailer on January 19th, the day before Trump left office, he told the jailer, he says, get me ready because I'm being pardoned. He says, who told you that? He says, the Lord. They laughed at him. The guard went down to his computer, pulled it up on his computer, and they said that he's being released today. The guard came back and opened the door, which you don't do. That's a violation of solitary. And he had been in it for 7 months because at COVID, they said they were going to release him because of COVID, but you had to stay in solitary 21 days to be clean so that you don't carry anything out. But they kept withdrawing that. And they said, you can either go back into the normal life, but you have to go back through this again, or you can stay in there. And so he just stayed in there. And the guard came back, opened the door, said, okay, now tell me, who told you that? And he says, the Lord. And he says, it sounds like a Peter experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He came, opened the door. But anyhow, I want to share this scripture.
I want to know the Lord then.
Yeah, yeah. The guard said, I want to know the Lord that you know, if he speaks to you like that. So it sounded like an Acts experience, but I want to read to you. Go with me to Acts 27, because be careful. We're going to see an increase of people that are going to have Paul conversions that we didn't think were possible to get saved. In the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel's time, was a wicked king. And he went into insanity for I don't know how many years until he came back and started to call upon the Lord. I'm telling you, there's many in high places. And what I'm saying is, if we're praying for high people in high place authority, don't expect someone not to have an encounter with Jesus.
Amen.
I believe we're going to see an acceleration in the mountains. But the acceleration taking a mountain is going to be those people that were in the mountain. You don't have to train them. They understand.
Yep, yep.
So chapter 26 of Acts, Paul's, and why don't I just share this? Because we're praying for the prodigals. We're praying for the mountains. But here's Paul's testimony. And Paul, in verse 9 of chapter 26, says, so then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Here's Paul's testimony. I thought, when the church started to explode, I thought to myself, I had the responsibility of shutting it down. And look what he says about himself. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prisons, having received authority from the chief priests, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against them. Whoa. Come on. Doesn't matter what they've done.
Amen.
Jesus can save. If he can save Paul, he saved Nebuchadnezzar. Some people say if he can save Kwame Kirkpatrick,
yes.
What way are we going to see Detroit turn around? I won't go there another time. But also, being put to death, I cast my vote against them. And as I punished them often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. And being fiercely enraged at them, I kept pursuing them even to foreign cities. While so engaged as I was, journeys to Damascus with the authority and commission of chief priest, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven. I'm just claiming that over a lot of people. Every one of us get born again, we have a light. The light comes on. Open the eyes of their heart. God's in. He came to die for everybody. He didn't say just to the good. At midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining all the way around me and those who were journeying with me. I believe he didn't know, but he saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus in all of his fullness. Then not only did he see, he heard. And when he had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect. I mean, isn't it neat how God personalized Paul's encounter? Paul, who's a scholar in Hebrew. So he speaks them in the highest Hebrew dialect. He speaks to them so that Paul knows it's God. That's what he does with us. He didn't speak to me in Hebrew. It wouldn't done any good. But he spoke in my language. Amen? Okay. Let's go on. Said to me in Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. Isn't it amazing he rescues them out of them first? The ones he's persecuting, he's going to send them back into.
Yep. Amen. Yep.
Kwame said, I'll never go back to Detroit. He's in the process of coming back. He says, I haven't finished my assignment. And I got testimonies. I got pastors that have sat with me in these meetings. They said, this is real.
Amen.
This is a Paul conversion.
Hallelujah.
And who am I to judge? Rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. Rescue you out of? To send you back into. Oh my goodness. Sounds like my testimony. I thought when I went to Bible school, I was being set free from Detroit. I saw go anywhere in the world. I packed up all of our stuff, but not back to Detroit. How many know you don't tell the Lord what you won't do? Because that's probably what he's going to have you do. And I'm so thankful. Man, all that we get to experience together and what he's experienced here. And I get to be with you. I wouldn't be with you if I was somewhere else in the world. Wow. To open their eyes. Here it is again. I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. So King Agrippa, I do not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but keeping declaring both to those at Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, and then throughout all the region of Judea, and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. I just felt so strong this week that, church, we got to, we're believing for the lost. Let's get our faith out there. How's the region going to be delivered? How are these mountains going to be ministered or taken? It's going to take generations for us to raise the next generation to go into the political. It's going to take many generations to go in the financial or to go into whatever mountain it is. But praise God, God's got a plan. I believe that he's foiling the devil's strategy to bring destruction. He's going to invade supernaturally. Yes. Yes. The prodigals, they're going to have encounters like Paul did. Amen. So I'm declaring Amen. Paul encounters Amen. Coming into everyone that came out of those Amen. Mountains that have been discredited or ashamed. That didn't fulfill their mission and their purpose in life because of sin or corruption or whatever. I'm believing right now we're gonna see some unexpected ones. I mean, people that be careful, the ones that you say never happened. God's the God of the impossible. He came to save everyone. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord and the prayers of the saints, you know, our prayers are going to be heard. So start praying for those in authority. Amen. I don't care who they are. They can have a Paul encounter. I'm excited about what's going on. I think, wow, it'd be something if it was happening in another, but it's happening here. I don't know what it's going to look like. That's not my job. My job is to stay in my position, stay in my place, keep praying. Amen. As Detroit goes, so goes the nation. Keep praying the prophecies over this city. Amen. Doesn't matter how bad it looks.
Yes.
God's not finished with us yet.
Yes.
The region. In Acts 17 says that God created the whole human race. And he created you to be born in a specific time and a specific location.
That's right. Amen.
And when you go on vacation, you always think, well, I'd love to live here. And people go on vacation and say, hey. My brother would share when he'd come here, he says, you're safer in the inner city and the ghetto in the will of God than in paradise out of the well of God. Amen. If this is where you're supposed to be, God's protection is upon you. His grace is over you. And he's not finished with you. Amen. Father, I thank you this morning. That Father, we thank you. Everything truly is being shaken. About time we think, Father, what else can be shaken? We see something coming down, someone being exposed, someone going to jail, someone being removed from office, or someone, Father, you're exposing corruption. But Father, we thank you that that doesn't discredit the call upon people's life, that they were called to do a specific job. And Father, we thank you. It's by grace we're saved through faith. Thank you that you put us back in the race. You put us back in the call and the anointing to finish our race. And so we thank you right now that we're praying for the prodigals. We're praying for our own families. We thank you, Father, that open the eyes of their heart. They have supernatural encounters. Father, even those that are the black sheep in the family. You often, Father, go after the most unlikely one. So awaken them. Make them, Father, come to their senses. start to hate the pig pen they're in. Open the eyes of their heart so that, Father, they have an encounter with you, and we call them back into the Father's house. We call them back into the Father's family. We call them back into the Father's inheritance. So, Father, we thank you that, Father, multitudes that are standing in the valley of decision are coming to their senses. And they're starting, Father, to come back. Their hearts are open. They're hungry. Father, as the continual shaking continues, we thank you. We pray that the eyes of the heart of every unbeliever be open. I pray, Father, for Paul encounters on the seven mountains, Father, and the political and the economic and the medical, the science. We thank you for sports figures, Father, entertainers. They're having encounters dramatically, supernaturally. We thank you for those in the media. We're expecting that right now. We'll not be surprised to see someone broadcasting, making their confession of Jesus on the national news right now, Lord, knowing that it might cost them their job. But Father, we thank you. Father, we're just expecting supernatural in those seven mountains and the family. In the religious realm right now. Father, we're asking right now. We open up our hearts and our eyes, and we look and see them coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We call in the multitudes right now. In the midst of the shaking, Father, you're calling them out of the shaking into an encounter with you. You're calling them out of gross darkness and the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of God. So we thank you. We just expect it. And we thank you that you called each one of us to be bold, to ask questions, to begin to engage. I break fear off of us. Well, what will others think? Or they don't want to talk. I break that fear off right now. And I thank you that, Father, as we listen, we'll be bold to share what's going on in our life. Right now, I just release, Father, during this holiday season, especially as we approach Christmas, Father. The reason for Christmas is Christ. And so, Father, as we gather, our many gatherings, our workplace, celebrations, as we gather with families, and we thank you that Christ will be the center, that Jesus that will be the conversation. People ask simple questions. Why is Christmas named Christmas? The Father will have an answer. And we thank you that even though, Father, Christmas has been canceled in Bethlehem, the celebration of Christmas has been canceled. Father, we thank you that in the midst of, Father, people get saved, revival. We hear of things breaking out. People supernaturally engage in Jesus. Fill those courtyards that were filled with lights and celebration, but fill them with, Father, the joy of knowing Jesus. So we thank you. We praise you. We welcome you right now. We welcome encounters. Father, that Christmas is just not about tradition.
Come on.
It's all right to have tradition and celebrate. But Father, we keep Jesus at the center. We welcome you, we honor you, and we bless you. Father, we just start calling in our loved ones right now. Heard reports, Father, of family members that haven't spoken to each other. You're restoring relationships right now. The Father will recognize the opportunity when they call. That's not just a call, but Father, There's a crying out there, and we listen to them. And Father, we thank you right now. Supernatural encounters in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, I hope all that made sense. Just wow, we're living in amazing times. I hope that's what you encounter. What a amazing time we're in, and we get the choice to choose. So choose this day that you're going to be part of the solution. I kept hearing this over and over again in different ministries, being part of the solution, not the problem. I thought, that sounds like our G7D. Part of the solution, not the problem. Well, that's what we're called to be. In Jesus' name, stand with me and let's just seal this. Father, if you need healing in your body, just kind of raise your hands and surrender. We're going to pray over you. You have pain right now going on. You have a diagnosis of a sickness or an illness, a disease. Father, we thank you that Ephesians says that every knee and every name will bow. Every name will bow at the name of Jesus. So, Father, every sickness, every disease has a name. And we command those sicknesses and disease to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we release resurrection power. Let it flow, Father, into every cell of every body, every believer in this place right now. Let's begin to experience, Father, resurrection power in our physical body. Let it begin in our inner man, the Christ within. And in that flow where we see manifestations of glory. We just receive it. We believe it. Just receive it in Jesus' name. Then begin to give them glory. You say, what do I do after prayer? You give them glory. You thank them right now. Thank them. I thank you. I'm saved. I'm healed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Look forward to getting some reports back of supernatural manifestations. Amen?
Amen.
So make sure you write them out. Well, go in the power of His might and be blessed right now. Share with someone if you haven't met someone. Look around. If you see someone, hey, I don't know who that is. Go introduce yourself, okay? In Jesus' name.